Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are down in the rugby dungeon for a very special episode of this podcast. Remember the 5th of November. It's the day it all changed at Saracens Rugby Club. On a day where we've seen nothing but fireworks and also Bonfire Night.
Brilliant.
We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. He's Jay Beardmore. I'm Matt Cocker. Phil is lurking in your DMs. We've all got ourselves together. Made the apologies to the wives and kids. And
35 reasons that we needed to do this.
There is.
There are 36 reasons. I don't know.
Well, in fact, Phil.
5 million reasons.
Phil is the man we can trust with the information to deliver it succinctly and honestly and properly. So come on, Phil, give us a little summary of what has happened.
So I received an email today, and a lot of people did, from Premier Rugby, announcing the results of the last 6 months of their investigation into the Saracens Rugby Club's salary cap. So they've produced a report as part of an independent disciplinary panel's investigation.
And it became independent because of what happened about 5 years ago with a couple of Premiership clubs who didn't get punished. This was
five years ago, yeah. Who shall not be named, of course.
Oh, no, we don't know, because we don't know who. Yeah.
We don't
officially know. There were 9 clubs that made statements.
Yes.
5 years ago, saying they've always been above board with the salary cap. And there were 3 clubs that did not make statements saying they've always been above board with salary caps.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your flow. You're doing well.
No. So on this one, so the two key reasons that Premier Rugby have given, which we don't have the full report, we don't have the detail, but the two statements they've made is that Saracens Rugby Club failed to disclose payments to players in each of the seasons 16-17, 17-18 and 18-19, so the previous 3 seasons. In addition, the club is found to have exceeded the ceiling for payments to senior players in each of those 3 seasons. The consequences of that are a total league point deduction of 35, which is applicable this season, and a total fine of £5,360,272.31.
And that amount is, we can deduce, we can approximate what the salary cap breach was based on both the points deduction and the fine amount, right?
We can
an educated guess.
We can have a guess, yes. So,
sorry, what date was the original investigation?
March, it opened up. That's when.
No. One where all the clubs denied it and some didn't.
Well, 2014-15 season.
That was the Bath Saracens final, wasn't it?
That was all dealt with off. Yeah, that was that season, but it was all dealt with offline. And the assumption was there were commercial agreements settled without anything becoming public by a number of clubs and Premiership Rugby.
Okay. Fine.
I'm just looking for the penalties. Because the different levels of breach relate to different punishments. So the highest level breach There we go. So over £650,000 breach is the punishment that relates to 35 league point deduction.
Now, I don't need to tell you this. That's not insignificant.
35 league points.
And also the breach.
Well, so the breach of over £650,000, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
That is a lot of money. A big number. That is, incidentally, more than you can spend on your academy credits.
Yeah.
It's £600,000, and you could have, it's £50,000 per player for that.
Yeah.
So you get 12 of them. Well, 13 of them in that price range.
Well, 100,000 here, 100,000 there. Before you know it, you're talking about real money.
Yeah. The other thing that... So we can assume at least one of the years was over £650,000. The other thing that supports that is the total financial penalty, the £5.3 million. Now, we know that any salary breach over £350,000 leads to a fine that is triple in value. So if it's £351,000, it would be 1 million.
And it's the bigger the breach, 50, the bigger 000. The ratio. So some clubs, Wasps, Harlequins, I think, have gone just marginally over.
Yes.
And it's at a lower rate. It's like 50% rather than...
Yeah. For Wasps, it was 50p in every pound.
That's right.
For this, it's £3 in every pound. Yes. So it's triple.
Yeah.
So from that, the 5 million, if you just divide that by three, you would assume the total breach was in the region of 1.8 million, which would roughly stack up with £600,000 per year.
That is a massive fine.
So what you can assume is at least one of the years was over £650,000. In likelihood, all 3 years were in the region of £600,000. Now, it might not quite play out like that,
but approximation.
That's a rough guess.
So the one frustrating part about this is we don't have a report to digest and read over because we're never going to see one.
Most likely, we are never going to see one. So
we don't know exactly what the breach was. We can assume, again, an approximation, an educated guess. You can assume it's the money that was put into the partnerships companies. And by the way, let's not forget the true heinous part of this whole scandal.
Yeah.
Is the names of those companies. We should never forget just how bad Voon Prop Limited, Faz Investments Limited, Wiggy Nine Investments. And who knows, maybe we would have had Jinx Aladdaily Coffee Limited with Elliot Daly and Jamie George, Bezzy Mates.
Who do need some new funders.
They do need some new funders.
Investment opportunity.
Yes.
So there's a few things which I want to bring up here, of things that we think we know. Okay, so we know the verdict, obviously. We know broadly what Saracens did, don't we? Broadly.
We're assuming.
The two... We can...
In very broad strokes, we do.
So we can triangulate the two statements. So I'll just read the statement again from Premier Rugby, which is Saracens Rugby Club failed to disclose payments to players. In addition, they have exceeded the ceiling for payments to senior players.
Now, have you read the Saracens statement?
Yes, which is you've got to triangulate those two, which is interesting.
Yes, so reading the Saracens statement, so it's a little bit more interesting.
So the bit that Premier Rugby don't mention, but Saracens do mention, which is what you've just referred to, Tim, is what Saracens call player co-investments. And the Saracens statement includes a line which says, they steadfastly maintain that player co-investments do not constitute salary under the regulations.
Yeah. So now, this is where I think it gets really murky, because I can see a really good argument for it not. Anyway, we'll get back to that in a second. So we know broadly,
yes,
in a broader sense. Okay,
we can assume that, yes.
We know the sanctions. Now, I'm going to tell you a few other things which might be of interest to you. So number one is, I would have assumed that the club owners had to vote on this. They did not. I would have assumed that the club owners would have seen this. They have not.
That doesn't surprise me, to be honest, given that it's got to be an independent disciplinary panel.
Yeah. Now, that is even more interesting because if Saracens then appeal it, the whole world will see it because they'll have to use it as evidence.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Saracens have used the word appeal, but when you look at the regulations, it's a review. So it's not going to be aired in public at any point. All that's actually happening now, and it's potato, potato, review, appeal, but all that's going to happen is, I think what can be reviewed is whether there was any sort of egregious oversight on the part of the independent panel.
Yeah. Now, there's a few other things, okay, so what you're saying, they can review the competency of the panel, basically.
Yes.
Have the panel got it wrong?
Yes.
So, I mean, they might have got it wrong if Saracens can successfully argue player co-investments.
But we're not going to see any of that at any point.
Yeah. But if they take it to a higher court in the land, for want of a better word, to take it into the actual justice system, then we'll have to see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what we don't know if Saracens are still over the cap currently.
Well, we have a statement. We have a statement from Saracens that says they are not. So the Saracens statement says, the club allocates a set budget for player remuneration. This budget falls within the salary cap for this year and has no connection whatsoever to third-party co-investments. So Saracens are saying that they are actually explicitly saying they will not be forced to sell any players to comply with the salary cap in this financial year.
Yeah, which again is interesting because, well, if you've paid a lump sum immediately, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, well, then surely you're getting away with it now.
Yeah, if you pay a one-off lump sum in 1 year, take the punishment in that year.
Yeah.
Well,
that stance from the club has not been validated by Premier Rugby. So that's their view.
Yeah. Now, Saracens have also said in their statement that they have new governance in order to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I mean, you know, if we think there's a £600,000 breach, it's not a governance issue, is it? Governance issue is like you've got the correct process for payments, or you've put tape on the stairs to say mind your step. Governance is like incidental stuff.
And that kind of also doesn't make sense in the sense of Saracens are maintaining that they acted in good faith, believing they were complying.
But apparently the report says they completely accept that Saracens were acting in good faith and they never tried to mislead or circumvent the cap.
Well, Saracens did say in their statement, we are pleased that they agree that we did not deliberately circumvent the cap.
Yes, which was a very interesting line, and I'd love to see the detail of the report to understand how they reached that conclusion.
So that might
three consecutive years they have breached the cap to a rough tune of £600,000 per year.
So there's some really unfair things in this. First of all, we need to know what's in it. I mean, frankly, we need to know. And also, club owners need to know, too. And, well, basically, everyone in rugby. For us, it's because it's the integrity of the sport.
Yeah.
For club owners, I mean, maybe I'm getting the wrong end of the stick here, but surely they would like to know how to pay their players. If there's some clever little trick which is not legal, why shouldn't everyone be privy to it?
Yeah.
And also, if they are setting up companies for their players, I mean, I actually, on a moral level, depending on how they do it, I don't have much of an issue with it. But I think it's really good. And the Saracen statement says, we want to help our players set up as entrepreneurs post-playing. I mean, that is about as healthy as it gets from player welfare. I mean, that is all the rage. I mean, from all the outrage on Twitter and social media, and this is a farce. Well, what happened to the outrage from a few weeks ago when it's all about player welfare and that you don't care about your players? This is clearly a mechanism which may or may not have broken the salary cap rules, but it is a player welfare mechanism, no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah, and I think to that point, we will certainly see amendments to the salary cap rules, how they deal with this loophole, the co-investment loophole, because we don't know the details of how much money was being put in by one party and taken out by another party, we're not sure of the exact process that has gone through here. But what we wouldn't want to see, just playing back your point, Jay, is the networking and business opportunities and opportunities for players to further themselves post-career being taken out and totally destroyed.
So let's dig into the money show of that in a minute, but let's just deal with the sort of bigger picture right now. So what do you think they're thinking down at Sandy Park?
Well, have you seen the...
I think they want them relegated, don't they?
I haven't seen an Exeter statement.
And personally, I don't think Sandy Parker alone in this. I actually think that a lot of teams up and down the country, they want blood. They want them relegated. I think they consider this more serious or as serious as any other type of cheating, whether it be ball tampering or doping or anything. I mean, that's how seriously that
Saracens have said they feel it's been harshly dealt with. I think heavy-handed was the phrase I used.
Yeah.
Richmond Rugby Club they can definitely say that. They got dropped to the very bottom of the league structure when they had some financial issues. Back in the amateur days.
Nine league. Oh, that was the turn of professionalism.
Were they bankrupt?
99.
Didn't they have to fire everyone?
They were bankrupt, yes.
Were they meant to build an F1 track or something ridiculous?
I'm not sure about that one.
I'm sure they meant to build an F1 track. And
then they had Ben Clark as their number 8.
Yeah. Ben Clark from Bath?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Exeter.
Didn't they have, we're talking Richmond, yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't they have Scott Quinnell at one point?
Yeah, they did, actually. Was it Craig?
Oh, well, I don't know.
It was Craig.
Maybe it's both.
I think it was Craig.
Good.
One very cheap, one very expensive. Legitimately. The Exeter statement, or should I say the Tony Rowe statement, said they should be, in his opinion, they should be relegated. Now, he has got more skin in the game than most because he's lost a couple of Premiership finals to the Saracens team.
Three
Premiership
finals. Two in the years.
Depending on who you listen to, he either owns all the club or none of the club. So, it's a very difficult one to work out. I mean, I don't know how Exeter is financed, but it doesn't sound like South West Comms is quite big enough for all that cash. Anyway, just back to Saracens. Do you think there was any excuses that you would accept of this? Like, when the Saracens fans are talking around the subject, a lot of it comes down to, well, England should be grateful, or because it suits England, we should be allowed to cheat, is effectively what they're saying there. Do you think there is any merit in any of the more silly excuses that we've heard so far?
That one, because it benefits England, they should be allowed to cheat.
Do what you want.
That is crackers.
Yeah, I don't think Saracens fans are legitimately saying that, are they?
Oh, I think
I've only seen one person.
I've seen a more
nuanced position where, and this is the consequence of this whole situation, where I do have a little bit of sympathy with Saracens if they are faced with a situation where, I mean, unless, before I say this, they have signed Liam Williams and Elliot Daly and Will Skelton and Vincent Cock and Sean Maitland, Alex Lewington. So I'm not, notwithstanding that, if they were put in a situation where they had to let a load of academy products go because they can't fit them all of these incredible number, when they have got way more than any other club.
Well, not as many as Sale, but carry on.
Well, they've got
academy in the UK, but I do take your point.
First team appearances from their academy. There's no one that touches them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were forced to let some of those go, I do have sympathy with how the salary cap system would appear to disincentivize them producing as many great young players as they do.
I could not disagree with that more. In fact, if anything, the salary cap system makes you work your academy harder.
Oh, no, I know. But how about...
But not for Saracens. Because, of course, Saracens have not only... I mean, they've burnt both ends of the candle, if you like. They've got all the top-end talent from outside the club. And then they've got all the top-end talent from within that region and developed it. I mean, they've done a good job on both sides. There's no
brilliant
ways about that.
Exceptional job.
But if that cap doesn't exist, or sorry, if it does exist and they adhere to it, if their current situation doesn't exist, is what I meant to say, then that academy gets even more valuable, because what you want is cheap young players.
No, I get that. I do get that. But if you produce as many top-level European Champions Cup-winning sides, England international players, as they do, you can't fit all of them.
No, you can't.
In the cap. So if they were in a position where they go, we're going to have to let Mauro Itoje go. Well, we brought him up from a boy.
But they wouldn't. They would let George Cruis go. And I know that doesn't sound like much of a consolation, but they would. And they'd have to pair Mauro Itoje with Nick Azikiwe.
I do understand. I guess what I'm saying is, one of the consequences from this could be increase the academy credits you get for generating. It could be scaled up. So if you get a academy player that becomes an England international, you get an extra bonus on top of your salary cap every year that they're there. Or academy players are outside of the salary cap and you make the salary cap smaller.
No, I disagree with all those things. Just keep the salary cap as a straightforward number. By definition, young players are cheaper than older ones, and you have to manage your cap. And, you know, if you want to bring in academy lads, you will benefit because there'll be more lads. There'll be, you know, there are some fundamentals which will always remain the same, which is lads will always be, mostly be more loyal to the club which they came through at. If you look after them, they want to stay. If you create a great environment, they will sign on for less. If they've got more opportunities at the end of their career, they might, you know, sign that extension. In my mind, Saracens have done all of those things, and then a little bit extra. But those fundamentals still remain the same. So the academy stuff, the idea of saying, oh, Saracens would just have thrown Mario Toji in the bin because they couldn't get him into the camp.
No one's saying that.
Or George Cruyff, or that these academy lads wouldn't get in, or they wouldn't get a chance. They would get a chance. And the best clubs would still be clubs like Exeter and Saracens that bring loads of academy lads through because they're cheaper. So I don't think the cap needs to change. I think the attitude towards the cap needs to change.
So the cap already does have some level of... differentiation between the senior players, the academy players, and the homegrown players. I think if this was a few years ago, we might have seen what you're describing, Tim. I think given where we are now with the CVC investment and the kind of right outrage from the other clubs, I just can't see it happening now. The only thing that I can see happening will be an inflationary rise to the salary cap, as we've seen in the past, and also potentially some tightening and some better explanation around what is allowed and what isn't allowed in the co-investment sphere.
I mean, and that's it, isn't it? That's why we... So the long short of this is we need more transparency within the system. Now, I get it is a private organisation, and I get people can be sensitive towards giving up private data, particularly earnings data. I completely get that. But this is the, you know, this is the fundamental integrity of the entire league. And I think there are, in fact, some positions in life where you have to declare your salary. And professional rugby player should absolutely have to be one. Professional rugby player within the Premiership. Another thing as well is there has to be a strict divide in my mind between players utilising the club's sponsors and then going out and getting their own sponsors. And the reason I think that is we are going down a very murky path where, the co-investments, for example, it's very hard to decipher where the club stops and ownership starts. So if I was to take a club like, just because I know Sale Sharks, what if one of the Sale Sharks went to work at UK Fast, who is also sponsoring the club? Is that right? Is it wrong? I think there needs to be a clear divide. You can either sponsor players or clubs.
Yeah, that would come under the...
By the way, that hasn't happened, for the record. Yeah.
Well, there have been all sorts of jokes in the past about wives of players being very well-paid receptionists.
Cooks at Saracens, maybe? I don't know. But yes, I've heard the same jokes.
Yes, I think and I believe stuff like that did go on a while ago, certainly before the salary cap was audited in the same way it is now.
Yes, and also where do we go on this? Because we talked about this on our the domestic podcast, where we sort of touched on some of these issues in anticipation of the salary cap story coming out, and we talked about rugby clubs at every level being a big network.
Yes,
And you'll have a plasterer and a lawyer playing in the same team side by side, and at some point. The lawyer needs a house plastering, and the plasterer has a bit of a situation where he needs some legal help. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this kind of goes on. Does this mean now that we're going to have every possible type of benefit in kind scrutinised? So if a Premiership player gets introduced by an owner and says, oh, here you go, here's someone that might be able to give you a bit of time and help on guidance for this, that or the other, your business idea. Not money, but is that a benefit in kind that now should come under the salary cap?
Frankly, everything has a value. So if everyone at Saracens who wanted to go down this route started taking insurance exams and then spending the summer working at Allianz, to me, that is a great way to, you know, make sure players are ready for... post-playing. On the other hand, it is clearly very, very valuable, and it has to be valued in a way. Or maybe you make room for that in the cap, like education and educational costs or networking costs are somehow exempt. My argument for this is that players only get paid for playing, and that is it, and they cannot have sponsorship deals with club sponsors unless all the money for that player goes to the club. So if you want to sponsor a club player at the moment, say I want to sponsor, I don't know, someone Leicester Tigers, that money that I sponsor that player with, so when he scores, it's, well, not they would score in Leicester Tigers, but, you know, hypothetically, if they did.
If they ever did.
Yeah, when they get sin-binned, Ben Young sponsored by such and such, that goes to the club. That is like club responsibility. But Ben Young's would have to go and get his own sponsorship deals. And yeah. They have to be independent.
Yeah, I think there's already some provisions on that.
There is.
So if there's anything that goes through the club on behalf of club sponsors, then that would be counted in the salary cap. But they can freely go and get their own, like Mario Toji does, My Protein, for example.
Now, he also does Vitality, and I'm sure Vitality sponsor. I'm sure they sponsor
Saracens.
That should not be allowed.
Interesting.
And I don't like saying that because I do appreciate he's got star power, but Vitality have to decide, do they want to sponsor Mario Toji or do they want to sponsor
the way he sits and looks at that little dog on the bench in the park. It's wonderful acting. The guy's he's a poet.
What, although, by the dog?
I say he's like he's an actor, he's a poet.
Warrior.
A warrior.
Lover?
On the field. Lover, I'm sure.
Listener?
Yes, but one thing he's not is a guy that can come up with a business name either, because I only actually... The penny only dropped on this one today. His company is called MN Investments. Now, the M stands for Marrow. The N stands for Nigel.
That was my assumption.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I believe that's the case.
No.
Okay, so one thing. Here we go. Questions that people are asking. Should the stars on Saracen's jersey be turned into asterisks or removed?
Well, have a star... with an asterisk
on it. Here's something controversial. Yes, the ones for the Premiership potentially should. Ones for Europe, absolutely not. Those are earned. I mean, they played Toulon for them, so you can get stuffed.
I kind of agree with you on that. On the one hand, they qualified for Europe via the Premiership. That would be the one argument people would come up with. But on the other hand, I would love to know, in real terms, what Leinster's...
Exactly right.
Because
exactly
it will
right.
far no, no, exceed yeah. any Premiership yeah. operation.
So, frankly, European stuff, you're fine. Premiership stuff, we're going to really have to have a think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that's
I would
part
not have
of the conversation.
Yeah, it's not, as far as I've seen. I would not have an issue with the two Premiership titles in this 3-year window being stripped off them.
Yeah.
I think there's precedent in other sports.
But then...
Well, it's not in the rules. And isn't it very interesting? This whole thing has not been... It's not been cooked up. It's not... You know, no additional rules have been introduced. These are all... It's just been administrated via the old rules. And the old rules do not say that you get stripped of your titles.
Which is very true. It is all above board. And that... I don't know if you've seen the element of the Premiership statement that refers to one of Saracen's defences...
Go on.
Which is the independent panel, this is the direct quote, the independent panel rejected the club's challenge on competition law grounds to the validity of the regulations.
I did read that and I thought...
Say that again.
Yeah.
So the independent panel rejected the club's challenge on competition law grounds to the validity of the regulations, which my interpretation of that sentence is Saracens were questioning whether the...
Salary cap's legal, basically.
The salary cap laws that they've signed up to, the 57-page law that they've signed up to every year for the past however many years, was legal.
Yeah, so that is almost like a smoking gun for me.
Yeah, that.
Well, if you're questioning that you're
and
done.
The fact that, so it was on the 11th of March when Nigel Ray made a statement via the club's website saying that they've done nothing wrong, that these partnerships were all the rest of it.
Beth Board, legal, reported to Premiership.
Exactly. That is no longer on the Saracens website.
Interesting.
Well, I think I'd remove it too. Until, if Saracens are really, really convinced that they're in the clear about this, they have to make everything public. I know that would be my move. I would explain exactly why I did these things, exactly how much went in, how it went in, and, you know, then let the rugby public judge you. Because at the moment, my feeling is the overwhelming course of public opinion is against Saracens here.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I definitely agree
now,
with that.
If Saracens, if the profile of the people that Nigel Ray had set up businesses with were all players post 30 coming towards the end of their career, that would be one look. It just so happens that the players that he's got into business with are British and Irish Lion top level superstar players.
Yes.
Which gives it a
look that he's not done this with other players. I mean, it's just that those are the big names.
I would assume that the others would be reported if they'd been done. I know it was Brad Barrett. There was the coffee one. Was that one? Or was that?
There is the Tiki Tonga coffee. Tiki Tonga coffee. Wolfpack Lager, as some of the others, but we don't actually know because we have the headlines that are reported in the papers, as in
Wiggy Nine Investments, yeah, Faz Limited, Vunprop.
But they would obviously only report the most interesting ones to the general public.
Yeah.
So we don't actually know how far down this goes.
All right, well, that might be a different look. That would look very different if it was all-encompassing and everyone.
Yep.
Or it was the age profile of the players was, it's just something I did with players that are coming towards the end of their career. But if it was done with guys that are 24, 25, but just happen to be absolute superstar players who have the biggest potential wage that they could command from clubs if they went on the open market, that's a different look.
If it was the older players, what would they do? So, like, I'm thinking of Marcelo Bosch.
Oh, he'd be...
Power Tools.
Oh, yes.
Bosch Power Tools. I'd imagine that he'd...
Or like hair
power
product.
Power Tools, of course.
There might be a problem with Bosch Power Tools.
He'd be a Bosch Models Limited. Yeah. Like catalogue modelling.
I guess he would build massive wrought iron Argentine barbecues.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I went to the restaurant I went to on Sunday.
Oh.
Had an enormous smoker outside.
Ooh.
And an enormous Argentine barbecue.
Built by Marcelo Bosch? Bosch barbecues?
No one said it wasn't
MBBQ. yeah. Yeah, Bosch Power Tools would be a good one.
What would Alex Goode? Has he got one? I wonder. What would Alex Goode do?
Probably, but I don't know. Goode.
I think he does. I think he'd
he'd organise stag do tours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just going back to, like, we do know that, for instance, Jamie George has a physio practice. I mean, some of these are pretty wholesome investments. It's not like they've just set up a company and thrown, well, not all of them. They've not just set up a housing company or whatnot.
No, I believe...
They are genuine businesses.
I believe Nigel Ray when he says that he genuinely cares about these guys as people. I totally believe him.
I do as well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's not to say that...
No one puts that amount of money of your own personal wealth into something like rugby and not cares. Now...
Well, would a £5 million fine, because this is the other thing, would this whole thing be enough for if you and Nigel Ray to say... If he genuinely feels really hard done by...
Walk away.
To just go, do you know what? I can't be doing with this.
Hard enough. I have tried everything. I've bought bloody Tim Horan to the Premiership. I've bought... what's his name? I'm trying to think of all the famous All Blacks. What the hell's his name? Tane Randall. He's bought...
Eddie Jones.
Castagnard. He has been responsible...
Andy Farrell.
England are in a World Cup final because of the foundations that I laid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm drawing a blank on all the great Saracens players that he's brought over to his shores.
John Schmidt.
Scout Brits.
Yep, yeah, here we go.
Scout Berger.
What's his name? I'm trying to think of the bloody French captain and his brother. Huge guy.
Oh.
Moroccan heritage.
Albanese, no.
Why can't I think?
Not Albanese, what's his name?
Yeah. It's not Azam either.
Benazee.
Abdel and Caleb Benazee.
Right. Chris Chesney.
Perfect. That's more like it. You know, the guy's done marvellous things for English rugby in particular. It'd be an amazing statement to say that he doesn't care or, you know, some such thing. He clearly does.
£5 million is a lot of cash.
It's a lot of cash.
Well, if he walks away, they're all done, really, because... They rely on his cash. It's not, from what I can tell, it's not a self-sustaining Enterprise.
I don't get the feeling that any rugby club is a self-sustaining enterprise right now. There is the venture capitalists circling around, and I don't suppose any owner is going to go when there's a CVC in the offing.
CVC and ever increasing BT Sport money TV deals.
Well, as they say, as some people say, at least the payments are increasing, but the viewing figures aren't, and that's a rather concerning thing.
Yes.
Now, let's just go back to the salary cap. So we need full transparency. The other reason we need full transparency, both of the process, the investigation, furthermore salaries of players, is because inflation for players is led primarily by agents who are lying to both the players and also to the club owners.
The players know what everybody's on. Everyone knows what everybody's on.
They do not.
Except fans.
They do not. I mean, they might know within a tolerance of, say, 5-10%.
Yeah.
But 5 or 10% inflation every year is an enormous amount. But
yeah, I'm certain there'll be misinformation from agents to inflate their own guys.
I'm sure that's
so. We do need clear information. It's also good for the product because it opens up a whole new avenue of fandom in the same way that fantasy rugby, although fantasy baseball started as a little silly game, and it brings in a whole new type of fan. Well, in the same way that, you know, the NFL, there's NFL salary cap nerds out there who love the numbers.
I was going to ask, is NFL fully transparent on the deals?
I'm certain it is.
They are, yeah. 100%. And they even say, like, in the case of...
You even know the guaranteed money, don't you?
You even know guaranteed money, and you know when, in the case of Tom Brady, basically Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots, who've won 7 Super Bowls in recent history, the best team ever, and Tom Brady, the greatest player of all time. When Bill Belichick went to Tom Brady and said, look, Tom, we're struggling this year. Would you mind taking a lower amount this year and we can give you more next year?
So that we
can get you a better wide receiver. Yeah. And you know when they do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, incidentally, on the Premiership Rugby salary cap, you can't do... If you have a 3-year deal that says 100K... year one, 100K year two, 600K year three, it's averaged over that 3-year deal.
Oh, interesting.
You can't circumvent it by doing that. But you might be able to see where if Owen Farrell decided to take a 300 grand pay cut for a period of time in order to get a better centre partnership when Brad Barrett retires.
So can I now outline rather drastic solutions that Saracens might want to consider. These are off the wall.
Okay.
Well, first of all, they might feel hard done by Premier Rugby. It sounds like they do.
And we should just say they have said they want this reviewed.
Yep.
As a result, the points deduction and the fine hasn't been implemented and won't be until the conclusion of that, which we've no idea how long that could take. It could be some time. It could be most of the season.
Yeah. And I guess they'll appeal that as well in the real courts. I mean, it depends how long they want to...
Arbitration would be the next step.
And I
that,
believe...
Which would also be private.
I believe it was something that came out and said... Again, there's so many news stories that have come out today that have been just blown out the water by this, like Japan potentially joining the Six Nations, which we can maybe talk mention that next, at the very end or on the next podcast.
What about Portugal's new coach?
Yeah, that was we'll get into that story. But I believe I'm right in saying that there was a vote and there will definitely be relegation this year. There will be no ring fence league this year.
So
interesting.
Here's some outlandish suggestions for Saracens. Well, first of all, they're not over the cap this year, so they can keep all of their players. Mm-hmm. But they've got a small problem, which they can only have them for 7 matches a year. Or that's what they are assuming. So
yes.
Do they go out and try and win Europe? I say yes, they should.
That might be their only route into Europe next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Potentially.
So that is quite important. Number two, what if they said, well, we don't want to play Premiership. You've really let us down. We're going to go and play Pro 14. I mean, like, the Pro 14 wouldn't have Saracens. They would have them in a heartbeat.
Pro 14.
They would probably...
Top 14.
Yeah, exactly.
Rugby would have them.
Super Rugby would...
This is...
They're all...
Fantasy insanity will never happen.
Well,
totally crazy.
Do you not remember Marat Bujala saying, I might want to join the Premiership? The Premiership were like, yeah. Okay. I mean, Saracens could get their whole squad in the French cap. Pretty little effort, really.
Just none of the England players would sign up for that.
Well, not only that, the England players couldn't be England players.
Exactly, that's why they wouldn't sign up for that.
Because they're outside the Premiership.
But if, but then, I'm sure a deal could be brokered there.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are a lot of cards to be played. I think I would, if I was in Saracen's shoes, I mean, maybe I'm not the best person to talk, because I do like a bit of confrontation every now and again. But I think I would stoke the fire and say, we have applied for top 14. They'd be very happy to have us. Now, are you okay with not having George Kruis, Maratoji? Because they're contracted to the club. They can't go anywhere. Owen Farrell, Lozowski, Spencer. The list goes on and on and on. George.
But you can't follow through on that, because all they do is they go, they'll play that brinkmanship and go, okay, well,
fine.
Newcastle up next year, and then Marrow and all those guys, if they want to play for England, they'll have to pick one of the 12 clubs.
Oof. Well, I mean, that's just one of the ideas. The other idea, and this is actually doable, I think. What if you didn't pay the England stars to play in Europe? No, didn't pay them to play in the Premiership, sorry.
Oh, so you only split, contract them for
a
Europe.
Split squad. So they think they've got seven games from them this year.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm certain, I can't think of the regulation, but I am certain that would be covered.
Maybe it wouldn't
that's
be.
That's interesting, that.
The salary cap goes It goes into so much detail about what constitutes a salary, what constitutes a contract, what constitutes a player, party of either the player or the club. I can't imagine it's been overlooked, but it's so out there that it might have just been totally overlooked.
You just have half a dozen power players that are there for your European Cup. Minimum of six games.
Now, there is a club, believe it or not, that already does this. I can't remember Leinster. well, this is my thinking, right? So maybe you do need your big players for, I don't know, five or six Premiership games a year. But only contract them for that. So Pro Rolls is their pay. So, look, we're going to pay you good money. In fact, if you were to extrapolate it out, you'd be the top paid players in the world. But you're only going to play you're European and maybe six games of a Premiership. The rest of your money, because we think you're that good, is going to come from England. They'd get under the cap pretty rapidly. They could still probably win Europe. And I tell you the best story as well. The best story, the one which I love, and it won't be popular, but the one that I love is the idea that Saracens don't get all their England players back because they've got to be rested and the autumn internationals are on the corner. Six Nations.
Well, no autumn internationals, but yes.
Sorry. They've got an autumn training camp.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Because
it's November.
Yeah, because Eddie's naming it. Unless it's the camp for Six Nations.
Yeah.
Because that's in February.
Yeah, we're only about 6 or 7 weeks away from the Six Nations squad being named.
So, what was I saying then? Oh, yeah. So those players might not be available. Now, the story I love is lads like Ben Earl and Manu Vunipola and Tompkins, and very much their second string, who are good enough to win games, but not good enough to win the Premiership, you might argue, having to dig out Saracens from this situation. And then Saracens ending up in this perverse world where they're actually stronger for it because all their young lads have been galvanised. You know, they now bleed Saracens because they've been through this traumatic hell, and then they've come out on the other side not only with a bunch of England players they've already got, but new lads who are seasoned Premiership campaigners.
So let's split those two things down. I think it's really interesting what you say about the split salary, and I think I'm with you, Phil, where I say they must have thought of that.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking,
if they haven't, that is a genius idea.
Thank you.
I'm just thinking because all the clubs play in the Premiership, there would be, I think any contract they would have with any player would be deemed to be within the salary cap.
Yeah.
They would still all come under the salary cap, but they'd be prorated, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So you're effectively giving them a big deduction.
Yes.
Saying you're going to play fewer games.
And Billy Vunipola has said,
He
would take a pay cut for less games.
Yeah.
Because it will give him more longevity in his career. And like you say, the money. Those England boys coming back from the World Cup, yes, they didn't get their medal, but they are walking away with
life-changing money. Frankly,
big
life-changing money. If they treat
£250,000, they'll be coming. No, maybe not quite that. But yeah, probably about a quarter of a million quid, excluding some of the individual sponsorship deals that they will have got. Yeah. Probably talking, they're all coming back with £250,000.
So they still all be under the salary cap, but you just pay them a lot less, and they're not contracted to do that many games.
Yeah, okay. So that could get around it if you get the buy-in from the players.
The second point, and let's get into that. If the 35-point deduction is upheld, will Saracens get relegated?
So I think there is a very real possibility. So Russ Petty did the last 15 years of Premiership table. If you took 35 points off Saracens. Now, they get relegated in three of those seasons. Admittedly, those three seasons are all more than 10 years ago. So they don't get relegated in any of the last 10 seasons. However, this season is an anomaly because of the World Cup.
Because of the World Cup and because of Saracens' incredible involvement in the World Cup.
Yes, yeah. More than certainly any team in the Premiership. Yeah. More than almost any in the world other than maybe Glasgow and Leinster and potentially JB's beloved Benetton.
Yep.
So I think there is a very real threat of Saracens getting relegated. Now, we've also said, so that's one side, that the Saracens, assuming the minus 35 does go ahead, the Saracens are going to struggle because of the England players, but also because of the disruption that this will have in their camp. And the other side of the coin, which this doesn't affect, but the Premiership is as strong and as competitive as we've seen in years.
Mm.
We're genuinely saying down from after the top, well, arguably after the top two teams, you can't, it's very difficult to pick the order of the teams.
We've
and
already
one
seen
of the top
it.
Two is gone.
Yeah, look at the table right now. There's only four teams I think that have won two games. Everyone's beating everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless Saracens, well, I mean, that might play into Saracens' favour. The competitiveness of the league might be what gets them out of it, but that's only if they
keep up.
Manage to keep winning.
Is no one seeing my, I mean, I know Saracens are the bad guys now, but not seeing my romantic theme about the young academy lads keeping them up.
It's definitely possible.
It's definitely possible, and it would be
monumental.
It would be an amazing story. You know, again, take the villain thing out of it, because yes, I can understand why a lot of fans are very cheesed off and it looks very dodgy. And if I was an Exeter fan, I'd be, or an Exeter player.
Yeah. Newcastle fan.
Newcastle fan. Yeah. I'd be gutted and really quite angry, understandably so. But it could be an incredible story if, like you say, Ben Earl, Manu Vinopola, Nick Tompkins.
Ezekwe.
Nick Ezekwe. Yeah.
Gallagher, Mullins.
If these guys put in the graph, because they're going to have to play more games than they would in any other season, if they get them out of it.
I wonder if the Premiership have inadvertently signed their own death warrant here. Because, you know, would you want a seriously annoyed Saracens?
It might actually, in the long term, be the best thing. Because it might have the effect of, well, Saracens do have to get rid of a couple of stars, potentially, depending on whether they do fit under the cap now or not. But it might just strengthen their very talented player pool.
Yeah, because they've got real responsibility now. Pressure's on every week.
And it does, from a CVC and wider league perspective, it does show, or certainly in future, it will solidify the integrity of the league.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, certainly the stuff we referenced before about 4 or 5 years ago when things got brushed under the carpet, there were questions over the integrity of the league.
Yeah.
This will change that.
But here's another one. Will other clubs be thinking, we need to make sure we are totally above board and whiter than white with everything we do, because it's going to be under more scrutiny?
Do you know what other clubs are thinking right now?
What?
Oh, shit.
Well, that's my point.
That's
what I'm
exactly
saying.
What they're thinking. Yeah. They're looking at this and thinking, oh my God, this is serious business now. So actually, yes, I think they'll be revisiting, you know,
they'll be scrutinising every little decision they've made.
They'll be going through all their hard drives.
If someone looked at that from a different perspective, would they think it could look odd? As we say in the past, the whole joke about players' wives being receptionists, but there may well be some 29 versions of that. I mean, if you take Saracens at their word, they thought they were acting in good faith. Are other clubs acting in good faith?
So I think there's going to be a lot of bloodletting in the Premiership next couple of years, because if Saracens have been treated like this and everyone thought they were untouchable, I guess, to a certain degree, and I guess they thought that too. I mean, they thought, you know, this will carry on forever. They obviously never expected to get caught, or why would you do it? So other clubs must be feeling the same way. There must be loopholes here and there. Now, if we come out of this in a year's time or 2 years' time, and the league is completely clean, everyone's got a load of confidence in the salary cap, the league is in a far better place than what it is now. Mm. A far better place. And that actually is really good. Because that is, let's be honest, the Premiership is already the best domestic league in the world, bar none. Better than Super Rugby, better than Top 14, better than Pro 14. Probably better than all three of those combined.
Because of the salary cap.
Because of the salary cap. Mm. Now, what's going to happen when the salary cap is actually embraced, is properly followed by everyone to the nth degree, and it's more transparent? It can only be good for Premier Rugby. Now, if I was the owners, here's what I'd be doing. I would obviously be punishing Saracens. I'd be getting my own house in order. But I wouldn't waste a good crisis. I would use this and burn Premiership Rugby to the ground and basically start it again. And, you know, the format of the competition is fine, but, you know, I think I would overhaul its communications, I'd overhaul its image, I'd overhaul basically everything, and use this as a bit of an advantage and, you know, a fresh start.
Yeah, I think that's a very good opportunity.
Yeah.
I think maybe not the burn everything to the ground and start again.
Yep, salt the earth, burn the records.
But the overhaul and... There will be a couple of tough years, I think, for...
You'd have made a great Roman emperor, by the way, Jamie. Yeah, scorched earth.
Yeah.
Genghis Beardmore.
Yeah.
Raise the building.
I think the league could come out stronger, but it will take a couple of years to do so. Interestingly, I've been looking, because of the 2015 position, where... Nine of the clubs made statements and three didn't. I've been looking to see whether anyone's made statements on this and all.
Do you know which three it was, JB?
The three which didn't make statements, yeah. I would guess it was Bath, Saracens and... It wasn't Wasps.
Correct so far.
It wasn't Gloucester, I know that. It wasn't Harlequins, wasn't Sale, definitely wasn't Sale. Newcastle, no. Tigers. Tigers would be the other one.
Correct.
Allegedly.
No, those were the three that didn't give statements. We're not giving any reason as to why they didn't give statements, but those were the three.
Just coincidence, perhaps. The only official club statement I've found is Worcester Warriors made a statement today, basically supporting the Premier Rugby action and the decision, and reiterating the Premiership Rugby statement and I think the RPA's statement on why the salary cap exists, which is ensure financial stability, reduce inflationary pressures, and maintain a competitive league
and keep players like Jack Singleton at Worcester if they could have had it.
Yes, certainly that. Yeah. Mm.
So
if you two were betting men, would you put money on Saracens staying up or down?
I'd love to have put a bet on it last week.
Yeah.
Before the points deduction.
I know a man who did put a bet on it.
I know a man who did too.
Really?
Put a tenner on it at 250-1.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I wish I'd done the same thing. Because we wanted to talk about this story for 3 weeks and one of us wouldn't allow me to talk about it.
Yeah, but that didn't stop you from... I mean, you talking about it on a podcast which gets listened to far and wide wouldn't have helped the odds.
No.
With the bookies.
Yes. Very good point. They've been caught cheating. But I don't think it takes away from a few things. I don't think it takes away from the quality of the players, the quality of the atmosphere, the quality of the coaching... the amount of detail they put into the game planning, I think this group of players is actually going to probably grow stronger.
35 points
together. So I have total faith in them.
So I think London Irish or whoever finishes in 12th, outside of Saracens, will probably be on low 20s. Let's say 22 points. 22 points. Let's say so 35. Means with Saracens we need to be on 57, which was about top four sort of points last season, right?
It would have just seen them outside. It would have actually seen them top four. 56 was top four last season, which is historically low, actually.
Yes,
top four.
It is historically
Normally
low.
Normally you need mid-60s.
As we've pointed out, everyone's beating everyone else.
Yeah.
So what I think that means is...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And I said Saracens are going to find it harder this season because it's a World Cup year, so I see them finishing fourth and maybe coming through and winning it at the end. That was my prediction a few weeks ago before the season started. It was Saracens to sneak into the top four, but not to come top of the league. So I think, yeah, I think it could go down quite late in the season on that basis, just those rough sums. So yes, I could realistically see that happening.
Yeah, I think... Assuming the 35 points does get taken off, I think it will be a lot closer than you might have assumed looking at the past 10 years. I think it will be a very close run thing.
I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be absolutely fine. Like I said, I think they thrive on this adversity. It's almost like, you know, for some coaches, this is the gift from heaven. For someone like an Alex Ferguson, the world is against us. I mean, it really is quite a motivator. In a lot of ways, I'm super excited for the young players within this system. I'm super excited.
Was it when they got... Remember when they got battered by Clermont and like by 50 points? Did they go on and win the tournament that year? Or was it the next year they won the tournament? They won the double the year after.
I think they went out in the semi to Leinster.
Yes, that rings a bell.
I'm sure they did.
Was it that year?
And Leinster went on to
win it.
They
had a really bad run where they were just lost a bunch of games and then the next season won the double.
Yeah. Was that a Clermont game where it was snowed off?
Yeah, it snowed off. I worked that game. I can't remember anything about the rest of the season.
In the semis. But yeah, a smart management. I mean, how it must be very exciting if they get their minds right for Max Mullins and, you know, those sort of boys. I mean, I'm excited for them. They get to make a name.
I mean, now you can imagine the London Irish players saying, "Right, this is a real shot." I mean, they'll have given themselves a shot anyway, but they've got to be thinking, "We've got to capitalize on this. Every single point, every bonus point."
And you don't want to leave it, do you, to the last weekend of the? So for all the people in the bottom three, you don't want to leave it to the last weekend. No, it's between you and Saracens to lose a game. Mm. You don't want to be in a two-horse relegation race with Saracens.
No, you don't.
Because they can still put out a good team. They are still pretty nifty.
Decent, pretty handy.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. So, wow. Wow.
Why can't there be a salary cap breach every week? That's what I want to know.
You are right. It was 17-18 when Saracens finished second in their pool. And Leinster won it that year.
Yeah.
Beating Saracens in the, I want to say the semi, I'm just trying to look it up now.
So just to summarise, that we're sort of all roughly on the same page. We're quite happy if the titles get taken away in the Premiership, but you mentioned Leinster. If their fans started going, give us a fifth star, no, back off. Until you show us exactly how much the IRFU's spending on Leinster.
They don't need to tell us anything, because they're on the rules. They were beaten fair and square, as were Clermont, as were Toulon, as was everyone else who faced the wrath of Saracens in Europe. So that is still for them to enjoy. Where do you think it's going to go next? Do you think there's any further twists and turns?
I think it's going to be frustratingly quiet for a long period of time. I think it, Gloucester v Saracens is a live BT Sport game this weekend.
This weekend, Saturday, is it?
So watch that.
The
build up to that will be interesting. I wish I was working on that game as a reporter, because I would love to be asking the questions.
So I've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, how Saracens are going to bond and get through this. I wonder what the Gloucester players are thinking. Like, we need to stick it to Saracens.
The Shed fans.
Yeah.
The Shed is going to be loud on Saturday.
And they're probably one of the biggest winners from all this, because they're definitely getting to a final this year. It is definitely Gloucester's year now. I mean, there can be no other way to describe this.
It's got to be Gloucester's year.
That is a very, very good point.
It's a gilt-edged opportunity for Gloucester's year.
This might be Gloucester's year.
This might be Gloucester's year.
What a note to finish on.
Could be Northampton's year.
Yeah.
It could be.
Could be Exeter's year. Every time Exeter don't face Saracens in a final, they win.
I mean, we're certainly going to get a different top four. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pending the review.
Pending the review, of course. The other thing I want to add is, I wonder if there'll be any legal challenges. For instance, Exeter Chiefs might say something. They might say, you're going to win two extra titles.
Lost the sponsorship earnings.
There you go. Season ticket sales. You could have had a bigger stadium. This, that, and the other. I wonder if there's more stuff to come from that angle.
Mm. And the human cost is always the one in this. You can sometimes overlook things like that, but there will be. I'm trying to think of an example of a player. Oh, what's the guy? Guys like Carl Rimmer, like a guy that there's no way going to have earned enough money to just be able to put his feet up and chill out. He's going to have to work.
Yes, he's going to have to find
For the next 30 years. And I hope he's getting on well in retirement, Carl Rimmer. But an Exeter Chiefs player that has a title. But you know what? What a difference when he's sitting with his grandkids if he got out a hat-trick of medals.
Yeah, or, you know, the English letters look differently on Exeter players because they've won three titles.
Yeah, Don Armand.
Yeah, and, you know...
There we go. We'd have beaten South Africa with Don Armand in the team.
20 caps, 20 times 20,000 is, it's a lot of money.
400. Yes. 400k.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the sort of things that that you're right to think about.
Exeter fans who paid a load of cash to travel up the country for big games, and just now there's a bitterness to it.
Mm.
There's human stories all over the shop, and which is why I really want to believe that it was an accident.
I want to believe it's on the same level as someone sending their tax return late. It's a non-disclosure claim, a crime, rather than a purposely cheating crime. There was no malice. That's what I want to believe. It's very hard at the moment for me to believe that.
Yes.
An administrative error.
Yeah.
Which is what Saracens have said.
Not to go over old grounds,
but when you look at things like the original statement being taken off the club's website from March, when you see the timing of the finance director leaving the club on 1 minute into the semi-final match with New Zealand.
Bye, guys.
putting out the statement then. It just doesn't look good.
Yes.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah, when you see them appeal the validity or challenge the validity of the rules and regulations they've been signed up to for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Not good.
That doesn't look good either.
It looks like they're squirming.
Yes.
Trying to wriggle. But we'll see. This is going to play out. I don't think we're going to see anything about it because it's an independent arbitration panel. It's not done in the courts. As JB said, maybe it will end up in the courts. In which case we will then see it. But this is going to rumble on and on and on.
And we will be here to make as much money out of it as possible.
As we're all together, we can talk about this in more depth. But just very briefly, the other story, which just totally got blown out of the water to the point that Phil didn't even know it happened when I mentioned it before the point.
I've been reading the 57-page salary cap regulations again.
Talk that potentially Six Nations will reach out to Japan and say, okay, well, if it's going to take a few years for you to get in into the Rugby Championship, come over here.
No. No, the answer is no.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because if there was any doubt with this Saracen story that it's all about money, this story just shows it is all about money. Because it was only, a year ago when people were going, Georgia should come in.
No.
Oh, tradition's more important. It's all about the tradition and the rivalries. And then suddenly, oh, hold on, what? Japan, 120 million, fifth biggest economy in the world. Their fans are all over it. Okay, we'll make it work. Okay.
Yeah. The answer is the same for Japan as it was to Georgia. No. Now, there is a country between Japan and Europe which Japan could play. Georgia. Now, I would probably start with... I actually brought up Google Maps today to just look at the country, so I thought, have I missed anyone? How has rugby got itself in a situation where there's actually a really good team in Georgia, a really good team in Japan, and nothing anywhere else?
Nothing in between.
Not for thousands and thousands. Hong Kong.
Pretty good team in Russia as well. They surprised us at the World Cup.
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
I mean, Russia... And actually, I mean, the times are... You don't realise how far away Japan is until you look at it on a map. Like,
and you fly
Georgia's
there,
far away.
And you two fly there.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia's far away.
God knows how many white wines later.
It's about... I'd guess it's about 10 hours to Georgia.
Yeah. Maybe but, slightly less if you could go direct, but it's that region.
Yeah. It's not 18 hours. Yeah. So Georgia and Japan...
And it's not 2 hours.
Yeah, nope, it's definitely not that. I think there should be some sort of realignment. Not with the Six Nations, but everyone else can mix and match. I was thinking... Georgia, Japan might be good. Time-wise, it's got to be Japan, New Zealand, Australia. That feels more Australasia-y. That's got a feeling of a good...
Along with Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, because time-wise, they're all very similar.
Yep.
I mean, Argentina with the Americas.
Can Argentina and South Africa, they can't really coexist, can they? It's just too much.
Time-wise is difficult.
No.
Time-wise is difficult. It's slightly closer than New Zealand or... Japan, South Africa, and then there's Georgia. Georgia and South Africa, time-wise, aren't hugely different.
But then, with all that said, if you could get some kind of world league that was muted a while ago...
Absolutely not.
You could have games, so you could have a Friday game, and then you could have a Saturday AM game in New Zealand or Fiji or Japan.
Mm.
You could have a Saturday mid-afternoon game in Europe
or South Africa.
Or South Africa. And you could have a Saturday evening game
in Argentina
or USA, East Coast, West Coast, or Canada.
Maybe when you put it like that.
I like the idea of that.
Problem is,
having the triple header spread across the world.
I guess the issue is Six Nations is always going to be dominant because of the quality of the competition.
It is the most competitive league.
Yeah, it is.
You can't replicate that competition.
We can talk about this in more depth. I just thought I'd just lob
Rattle
it
like
in
ages.
At the very end. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, if Portugal's coaching staff continues to improve the way it is, there'll be no issues.
And I think we should just finalise our own plans and then also say, coming very, very soon to a podcast near you, details of a Tier 2 tour.
Yes, indeed.
Because it's November now, we should get on. We need to get on with that.
Yeah.
What's that face for? You can't face it.
I can't face it. We'll do something. We'll work.
No, we've got good plans.
We'll definitely do it.
Details coming soon. But thank you for listening. We're back after this weekend's rugby. Find us at Rugby Podcast. Him at Jay Beardmore. I'm at Cocker. He's lurking on Twitter somewhere. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.